Hello, lovely listeners. This is Marie from Two Girls, One Reasonable Cup, and you're listening to Casting Views. Oi, oi, oi.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Casting Views, the podcast that takes a topic each week and, as the name suggests, cast views. This week's episode is episode 2 in the new sub-series called Mind Wipe, and I have the awesome Colin from Seismic Cinema under the microscope this week. Hi, Colin.
How you doing? You right? Put quite a lot of pressure there with that introduction, so...
Well, the thing was, I say awesome because one, you are, you've been on the show before, so you were on for the San Junipero Black Mirror episode. I appeared on your pod to do Karate Kid.
Yep.
So all good experiences so far. But
well, hopefully that continues then.
But the thing was, you messaged me, so the first episode of this one aired, and then you actually messaged me to say you fancied having a go at it, and I thought, brilliant.
I like the concept, and I like quite loose episodes where you can just talk about a variety of different things, so I thought I'd quite enjoy it.
Yeah, so I have to thank Slade for this, because he, as I said in the first episode, he approached me and talking smack and said, oh, I've had an idea, and to be honest as well, it was something I'd had in the back of my mind for a while, and thought, I don't know if I can make a podcast out of it, and then I thought, what the hell, just give it a go. And I really enjoyed doing it, because this, along with a dinner party, makes me feel like I'm getting to know the other person. Mm. And I think Slade felt like he came out of that having been slightly psychoanalyzed. So let's see how you're feeling at the end of it.
No, I'm looking forward to it. I think you could make a podcast out of anything. So there's that.
Well, the thing is, I've now got more sub-series, I think, than I've got weeks in the month. So I'm struggling now to work out a rota. But
yeah, I don't know how you do it.
Well, before we get stuck into it, yeah, so Seismic Cinema and also Seismic Soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us how that's going.
You know what it's like? Like, some months you're happy with your views, sometimes you're not. But I think we all kind of view it. It's not something we think is ever going to make us a million, but we enjoy it. It's a good wee, as our tagline goes, it's the power of escapism. So we like to just escape kind of everyday life and just talk about movies, or most often movies, occasionally TV shows. And as you say, once a month, we like to talk about football as well. So it is enjoyable. Paul's my best pal from childhood, and James, I went to uni with. We did our teacher training together. So it's really nice. And our pal Gary comes on the football once, who's my pal from a different uni. So it's nice to catch up with friends and just talk about things you're interested in.
Yeah, I don't think I've met Paul yet. So we've got to get him on for Have one of these. No.
Well, you're hoping to come on Seismic Soccer at the end of April.
That's true, actually, yeah. So the Seismic Soccer bit, how do you feel about that? Because it must be weird, because how long have you been doing Seismic Cinema now?
Well, we've been doing it, that'll be just over 2 years. So it was obviously me and Paul that started doing it, and James joined us permanently last year. But we're football fans and kind of movie fans, so we always had this kind of itch to talk about football. So we decided just to go for it. And then Gary came on board for the football ones as well, because I actually made a few guest appearances on a Rangers podcast called The Rangers Rabble a couple of years ago. So it's quite nice, because it kind of scratches that itch of talking about football as well. And the fact we only do it once a month, it's something we look forward to as the end of the month approaches.
Yeah, and as you said, so... why I'm part of Just Football, and you are always talking about football with friends, and that's what I like about the podcast like Seismic Soccer and ours. We're not there saying we know all the fine details of everything and analyze everything to minute detail. We just want to have a chat about the things that matter to us in football.
Yeah,
and going back to what you were saying, this whole thing I love about podcasts, and the reason why I want to do these and the dinner party ones, is just to talk to people like yourself and have those conversations. Mm.
It does make you view things differently. Like, when you're watching a movie, you are thinking about it in a different context. If you're listening to the football news, you're like, oh, that could be a good point for an episode. So it's just, as I said, it's a good way to just kind of escape with pals. Like, I feel like as an adult, a proper adult now, you don't see your friends as much. So yeah. Podcasting is a good way to keep in touch with people and have those conversations.
And on that, so, I mean, I've done a little bit. So I've got the Black Mirror series and I do another sub-series with the Movie Wire about pilot episodes, but I'm definitely not a reviewing podcast or anything. So when you're approaching like an episode for Seismic Cinema, they're probably films you've watched a lot of times, but do you watch it a couple of times? Do you find that if you're watching a new film or a new show, do you think, oh, I wonder how, yeah, that'd be good for the pod? You know, you find that the mind's taken over by pod stuff.
No, I think I can still enjoy movies and shows for what they are, but it does look, we've got quite a few group chats. We've got a group chat with the boys from What's the Script as well. And we're always posting just pictures of what we're watching or recommending things. And it's a good way to find new things. And I just finished watching a show called Death and Other Details. It's a murder mystery on Disney Plus.
Really good.
And I'd love to discuss that with somebody if anyone's watched it. In terms of if we've planned an episode, I will ideally watch it twice, but time doesn't always allow that. So yeah. I'll sometimes watch it once just to, if I'm watching it the first time or if I'm rewatching it, but then I'll sit down with a notepad and make notes just of things that I liked or things that came into my head. It's different if you're hosting, because we rotate the hosting. So if I'm a host, there's a bit more to it. Like we've started doing in our recent Simpsons episode, we did like a trivia contest at the end, which was quite a lot of fun. So if Paul and James are listening to this, but this will probably come out after we record, because we're reviewing Good Will Hunting on Thursday night, which should be interesting. And so do sit down with a notepad. I've famously not seen a lot of films that I probably should have seen, although that's changed quite a lot since I started Seismic Cinema. So it's been a good way to encourage me to watch something. It gives you like an incentive to watch something you've not watched or always planned to watch if you're going to go on and discuss it. So
yeah, I do like films, but notoriously in recent years with the Xbox and the podcast, films have taken a real backseat for me. And even TV viewing, which is why this Pilot Views episode I'm doing, and even the Black Mirror episodes, has really got me watching TV again.
Yeah.
The thing is, like you said, it's time. So I'm currently watching Dexter for an episode.
That's on Netflix now, isn't it?
I've got it on Paramount. It's on Paramount Plus. Now, I'd watched it previously, and technically I should only be watching the pilot, but I'm always thinking I'll watch a series just to get the feel for it.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm halfway through it, so I just started 5 tonight, but you know that's 96 episodes, and I'd love to have watched it before the episode, but there's no chance.
I've never watched it, although Paul lent me the DVDs at one point. It's one I might watch. I started watching, funny as to say, the first episode of Better Call Saul.
All right, yeah,
because I've watched Breaking Bad the whole way through, and I've always heard good things about Better Call Saul, so I think I might make that my next wee project.
Same with me. I haven't seen that. I've seen Breaking Bad and want to rewatch that, actually. Never got round to it.
I've heard really good things about the show, so happy to give it a go. Alongside my Simpsons rewatch,
good luck with that.
I probably won't make it the whole way through, but it's just a good show to have on during the holidays or when you're in your dinner. My stepson's just started getting into it, who's 10 years old, cool. same age as Bart. So it's been good rewatching a lot of the season 1 and 2 episodes.
God, I remember watching it from the first season, but it's years now. What is it? It's got to be
30 odd seasons. But to be honest, I'm not really doing this for the newer ones, although it'd be interesting to watch them because I haven't watched a lot of them, but it's more for the kind of golden age era.
Well, look, before we move on, because I want to make sure we don't touch on anything you might have picked as an option here, we'll hear from some friends of the show. And what I'm hoping for is, because at time of recording you haven't, but what we're going to do is put your, so you're going to hear your show, and we're going to hear from Seismic Cinema now.
Your feet up, grab your popcorn, and prepare to watch some movies with us. We're Seismic Cinema. I'm Colin. I've probably not seen it. Paul's watched it in the wrong order.
And I'm James, and I've probably written an essay on it. And that's Seismic Cinema. We believe in the power of escapism.
Okay, we are back. So, Colin, got you on for Mind Wipe. I'll explain it again just for people listening if this is their first experience of this. So, I am going to throw to you a number of subjects, And on each of those, you're going to give me 1 to 3 examples from there of things you would love to experience for the first time again. Now, the caveat I will say is that you are going to relive it and experience it with the same love you had for it for the first time. Because, for example, you know, we might want to play a game that we haven't played for years, but now it's going to be quite dated and terrible. But what, you know, what I'm going to say is you're going to relive it and have that exact same.
You just
want
to transport back to the time when you first watched it or listened to it. That kind
of thing. Got that feeling. So based on your podcast, I'm going to change the order that I did have this in. So let's start with the movie world. So yeah, let's hear the movies you'd love to experience for the first time again. And why, I should say, why, yeah.
I've picked 3, and 3 is a number. I love the number 3 when it comes to these kind of things. I've got a few honourable mentions as well, just because I like that sort of thing. So,
well, build up. Do you want to do the honourable mentions and then we'll hit you?
That's 3. Fine. Yeah. Okay. One I put on, and it's I kind of put it in like the same category as a Good Will Hunting, because Robin Williams is such a big part of the film. I've put the Dead Poets Society.
Okay.
I just felt that and Good Will Hunting, they were just such kind of inspirational films, and they're just so deep, and they just really get you thinking about life and how fragile it is, and how much you should kind of appreciate being alive and kind of all the small things. So I felt that that film was really powerful.
Good choice. They are iconic, aren't they? And I kind of want to say the classic, we don't really get films like that anymore, but I don't really know, we probably do, but in terms of ones that capture an entire audience like that, it doesn't feel they come around too often anyway.
And they're ones I'd heard about for years but only watched for the first time I think last year, so I watched both of them within like a couple of days, so that was an intense couple of days. Another film I've put down, and it's a Star Wars film that I really like. It's maybe not universally popular, but it's more for like the experience of going to see it, which is what we're talking about that feeling. The Force Awakens.
Yes.
It was the first Star Wars film in 10 years. I was working away from home. I was doing my first year teaching, and I remember I had a countdown on my board in class to when the film was coming out. And I just remember going up to Glasgow to see it, and just the experience of being in a cinema, just the anticipation of the opening crawl, and just the whole experience was something I'll never forget. It was just a special moment.
I think that's a really good choice, in the sense of I was never a massive Star Wars fan. I like them, but I wouldn't say I was a hardcore fan. And I had seen, now let's get this right, I had seen the second film of the second trilogy. So what was that? Was that Attack of the Clones?
Yeah.
And really didn't like that. It didn't help that I think I saw it after a birthday night out, and I was partly inebriated, so the film didn't grab me. But seeing The Force Awakens was just good fun.
It's a very pacey film, just non-stop. It's just a J.J. Abrams film, isn't it, from start to finish. So those were my 2 honorable mentions. I probably could have put another 20, but I wanted to keep it tight. One of the ones I picked, I don't know if you heard of it, it was called One Life. It only came out this year.
No, it's not one I'm familiar with.
It was basically all about, I forget the man's name now, a man who basically helped take hundreds of Jewish people out of, where was it? Was it in Berlin? Was it in Germany? I think it was in Germany. They basically helped lots of Jewish people escape during the war. It was like a real story that they remade, and it's just such a emotional story, and it shows the man like when he's older and he's at like a news event and he meets all the young children that he rescued when they're grown up, and they're all like standing and giving him a standing ovation, and he's hugging them and they're crying. It was just such an emotional experience, and I went to see it with my dad, who he's not someone like, I don't think I've ever seen cry maybe once or twice in his life, but my dad's like tears streaming down his face, and it was just a really powerful experience seeing that with my dad, but also the kind of topic of the film as well. So it's one I'd really recommend checking out if you get a chance.
Was that the guy, like I said, I haven't seen the film, I'm not aware of the film, but I remember seeing footage of either in an audience where he didn't know that was it the children?
They're all set. It was Anthony Hopkins that played the guy.
Right.
Nicholas Winton was his name. Oh no, it wasn't. It wasn't from Berlin. It was from Czechoslovakia. So it was from the Czech Republic. Yeah. That he rescued them from. So it's maybe quite an obscure pick, but it was just a really intense experience and a really kind of sad but happy feeling at the end of it.
Yeah, I think anything around the war and, you know, things that are definitely based on true stories always get you. I mean, mm-hmm. The film I remember at the time getting me was Life is Beautiful. Have you seen that? And it's mainly because it's got, now I don't have children, but it's got the guy with his kid and it's the way he's keeping him occupied during that. And it's just one of those ones that really gets you because of that. So
yeah, so I thought that was quite a left field pick. Another one, and I maybe credit this with the film that maybe got me into movies in a critical sense in terms of the making of movies. I went for Hot Fuzz.
Okay, yeah.
I just remember the first, I rented it from Blockbusters, I bought it from the Blockbusters kind of bargain bin.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I just remember watching it, and I love murder mystery. I was talking to you about that show I was watching earlier. And it was just, I was just blown away by it. Just the humor, the quick cuts, the foreshadowing, which is another aspect of cinema I love. I'd love to see Hot Fuzz again for the first time, because I remember we used to have a Summerfield in Dunoon, and I remember going into Summerfield having just watched it and imagining people running about with the trolleys and shootouts in the deli and things like that. So,
but I remember at the time talking with colleagues and friends and them saying that for them was the worst film out of the three. But I loved that film. I thought it was great.
It's my favorite of the three.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
It's one, every time you watch it, you spot something new.
Yeah.
I think it'd be one, a great one to rewatch. And the last one, which I'd also, it's another film that's got a lot of the kind of foreshadowing and the hints about what's to come, was Get Out.
I've only just recently watched that.
That's one of my favourite films of all time. I just absolutely love it. Obviously the subject matter is horrendous, but the way it's done with the, if you rewatch it, there's so much foreshadowing in the build up, and I just love the suspense of it. And some of it's just pretty, the jump scares are good as well. It's just a film that I really highly regard. And my favorite horror film as well.
Do you like the suspense and the horror?
Yeah, that's my favorite part. I think when the suspense goes out, it's a bit like when you watch Jaws or Jurassic Park. See when you start to see the creature or whatever it is, I feel that's where the films go downhill a wee bit. It's all about the suspense for me. So
I was actually talking about this at work today. We were talking about films that scare you and that, and I said, look, I don't particularly like horror films, but I do love the films that keep you on edge for the whole 90 minutes, 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I probably prefer psychological horror rather than traditional horror in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So yeah, Get Out. And I remember being really, really disappointed. I think it was in 2022 with Nope, the newest Jordan Peele one. I looked forward to that film so much, and I barely remember anything about it.
I saw that on a flight, but it then made me want to watch Get Out, because I watched the first one as well. What was that? Was it Them? No.
No, this was the first one, but the second one was Us.
Sorry.
Which I thought was decent. It wasn't as good as Get Out, but it was a lot better than Nope was anyway.
Yeah, so I think I watched it, 2, 3, and then 1. So, I'm kind of glad I kept that for the last one anyway.
Yeah.
3 very different films there.
Yeah. Yeah. As I said, I had a good think about it. So,
yeah. Okay. So out of those, in terms of your favourite genre, would you say sort of the horror suspense is your favourite genre? Or
It really just depends on the mood for me. I'd say my favourite genre is murder mystery.
Okay.
So I was watching the one with Kenneth Branagh, the Venice one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I just watched that as well.
Yeah, I love Death on the Nile. I really enjoy that film as well.
Yeah.
What's it called? I was actually watching it last night.
It's the Venice. I watched it over Christmas. Yeah. You could Google it while we're talking.
It'll come back to me later. But yeah, murder mystery is probably my favorite genre overall, with psychological horror probably second.
Yeah, but that's the thing, before we move on, I find funny about the Cornetto trilogy as well, because they are comedies, but they do go into some quite dark territory as well, don't they? Especially Shaun of the Dead, the ending of that. It does get quite dark, doesn't it?
It still works as a horror film, despite it really being like a rom-com, is what they called it.
Yeah. Right, okay, so we've done the movies. We'll keep in and around the area. So let's do TV shows.
Oh, here we go. So there were so many. I'll start with my honorable mentions again, if you want.
Yeah.
I went for Game of Thrones because I feel like that's, you know the phrase, a water cooler show?
Yes, yeah.
So obviously everyone knows kind of what happened in the final season of Game of Thrones, but I feel like seasons one to six, just a kind of cultural event. I just remember watching them for the first time, and it's a show, once you start watching it, you just watch it. That's what you do for a week, 2 weeks, until you've watched the whole thing. And it became quite, because I watched like the last three or four seasons like as they happened. I remember staying up late on either staying up late on a Sunday night or watching it recorded early on a Monday morning.
Yeah.
I just loved all the discussion and watching the teaser trailers, and I'm glad House of the Dragons there now, and season one was excellent, so we've still got that world. So I went for Game of Thrones for one of my honorable mentions.
I've not seen the House of Dragons, and I agree with you. Game of Thrones, for me anyway, was the last real, you watch it one night and you're talking about it the next day at work. And I do say to people, I mean, what was it? It's like eight seasons in the end, wasn't it? I do still say to people, look, even if you've heard all the bad things about it, still watch it, but maybe just stop at season seven, because I think the cliffhanger of that still works as a final cliffhanger.
Yeah, I like the phrase, it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. And
yeah,
that's the way I feel about a lot of shows. Like, people might hate on the way something ended, and there's a couple of other shows on my list that are in that category, but I think it's still definitely worth the experience. A big thing for me in TV shows, my favorite TV shows, maybe out with Game of Thrones, that's a different vibe, is I love the relationships between characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I love shows where there's like a kind of core group, and you kind of grow with them. So a show I went for, and it's a show it probably doesn't get enough chat, is Lucifer.
Okay, never seen that one. Yeah,
it's just a great show. It's just so heartfelt and slick. Another thing I love is I love when films are like when the camera shots just make them look so like. There's certain shows like Lucifer, and the way it's filmed and the locations they use and the smart clothes the characters wear. Like, I'm all for like the suits and different things like that. But it's just, again, it's just a great ensemble cast, and it's got a great storyline. It's got a lot of heart, a lot of twists and turns. And it's one that I've not rewatched, but it's one I'd love to experience again. And I would highly recommend it if anyone's, for those who haven't seen it.
Like myself, yeah, it's on my list. I think that's on Netflix, so it is on my list.
Those were my kind of like honorable mentions. The ones I'd like to watch again for the first time, Suits, which I would consider as my favorite show of all time. That's probably, do you know how I said Hot Fuzz got me into movies? I would say Suits got me really into TV. I was just captured by how fancy the offices were, how nice the suits were. Like, I bought so many suits within the space of a couple of years, having watched that show, and ties, and I've actually been to some of the filming locations in Toronto as well. And just the characters and the relationships between the characters. Another big thing I didn't mention was the music. And you can find so many great songs just from watching shows. And there was just something about Suits that just captured me. It was that kind of escapism. It was this just amazing life, being a top lawyer at this big firm in New York. And just always kind of captured a period in my life when I was training to be a teacher, and Suits was just my obsession. And I was really sad when it ended.
So, yeah, another one I've not seen. The wife has, and I've got it on my list to watch. But yeah, just never got round to seeing that.
It had a random resurgence last year. It was like the most watched show on Netflix in like 2023. Oh, yeah. It was like it came out of nowhere. Obviously, Meghan Markle, she obviously being in that, maybe raised a bit of the profile of it as well. But yeah, Suits is what I would consider my favorite show of all time. And it just there's just something really special about it for me.
But like you said, there was a period where they produced some quite stylish TV shows, wasn't it? And that would definitely fit
White,
in that
White
category.
Collar, I didn't watch it the whole way through, but that was another show that was kind of similar in style. Another one I picked, and I watched this during lockdown on the recommendation of a friend, and it's just so wacky, funny, quirky, you name it, Community.
Okay, yeah.
That's one I'd love. And again, I think just watching it during lockdown, I've got a special place in my heart for shows I watched during lockdown for some reason. I think it was just a real comfort at that time where I lived by myself and I didn't get to see anybody. So Community was just a blast. It started off being one show and then just got wackier and wackier as the seasons went on, and they're finally getting their, there's all this thing about six seasons in a movie, and they're getting their movie. It's going to happen over the next year or two. And it's just one of those finds that, you know, sometimes people recommend things to you and you wave them off or you don't get round to it. It's one I'm glad I did get round to. So,
and again, another one where there's like that core group.
Yeah. Have you watched that?
Yeah, I have. I don't think I've seen it all the way through, and it was a while ago, but I do remember there was like a paintball episode which sticks out in my mind.
Basically, how I describe it, it was like their version of like the Simpsons Treehouse of Horror or the the Brooklyn Nine-Nine Halloween heist.
I do. Now, Brooklyn Nine-Nine is, I do like that.
That also could have went on this list, potentially, but the last one on the list was a bit like Marmite in some ways, but Lost.
Okay, yeah, that's what I didn't say earlier when you were talking about Game of Thrones, but yeah, let's hear your views then.
So again, I watched this during lockdown, and I remember I watched the first couple of episodes at some point, and then I just didn't quite click with me, but then I kind of committed to it, and then once I got into it, I think start of season two is when I really get into it, I just became proper obsessed and just ate up every kind of last part of it. One of my best pals loves the show, and he kind of like rewatched it through me, so like every day I was giving him updates on where I was and my theories. And there was a really special moment where, because I was giving him that daily update, he doesn't live here, but he actually came down the day that I was going to watch the finale, and we actually watched the finale episode together, which was really special.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant.
And that last episode is so emotional. This is a real random story, but it's quite a good story. So I can't remember what happened. I think the day that I watched the finale, I'd found this random coin on the street. It wasn't like a proper coin, but it had like, it was like a fake coin, but it had like something on it. I can't remember what it said on it specifically, but I remember just full of emotion from that finale. I gave him it and I said, I want you to give me this on a special day. And then at my wedding last year, my pal produces this coin and gives it back to me wedding day. Yeah. And I remember just being like, oh my God, I totally forgot about that. But what the funniest thing was, another friend found the exact same coin, like in the lead up to the wedding, who was having breakfast with us. He pulls out this random coin. He had the exact same replica.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's brilliant.
I know it's a really random story, but it was just, that's what reminds me of the finale of Lost.
Yeah, but that's what this show is all about, this particular one.
No, it was just a bizarre, like, I totally forgot I'd given him that coin on the day the finale. So Lost, just, I love the way they delve into the characters, like kind of backstories and all the kind of theories. And I actually liked the finale. It's
I was
highly,
gonna ask you. Yeah. I'm with you. Yeah.
I liked how like they all kind of like met up at the end, and it turned out, spoilers, that they'd all kind of died at different points in time, and just some of the storylines, like Sawyer and Juliet, is that her name?
Yes,
yeah. Just like their relationship and the whole thing with Charlie and Penny, and there's just, I'd say it's probably my second favorite show of all time, but I'd love to do what my pal did with me. I'd love to be someone's guide through it now. and just carry on that legacy. Yeah. So, yeah, so.
Now, I'm with you. The finale, you know, was it the best finale? I'm not going to necessarily say it was the best one, but I'm really happy with it. Like you said, it finished it off. Mm. And for me, I remember just coincidentally, I had that day off work because I think they were showing it on Sky at like 6 in the morning here. Mm. I think something like that. And just coincidentally, I had the day off. So I got up early to watch it. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good finish to it.
I think sometimes like I binge watched the whole thing on, I think it was Amazon, and then it carried over to Disney Plus. I don't know. It moved at some point. But I didn't have those weeks of or months of speculation wondering what was going to happen. I just had what was there.
Yeah.
And whether I would have had a different experience watching it as it happened, possibly. But I wouldn't change how I like watched the show.
Yeah, and for me, the final thing for me, I remember I struggled with it because it was weekly, and at first it was on Channel 4, so then you had more adverts, it felt, than show. I remember when Season 4 came out, and that was a shorter one, and that was when it really went into the time travel thing. There was the whole Faraday. That, for me, was when it kicked up a gear, and I know some people, like you said, it was Marmite turned off at that point, and that was what really got me back into it.
I was the same, that, because... I always loved the bit. I actually got my stepkids repeating this at one point. It was like, we got to go back. Yeah. I love all that stuff.
Three great picks there, definitely. Even your honourable mentions. So yeah, no, I like those. And the story, that's a fantastic story. So thank you for that. Right. Let's keep with the theme of your podcast. So let's go to sports events. Now, I've said, like I said to Slade, and I hope I said to you, these aren't necessarily events you had to have been at. They could be something you've seen on TV that mean a lot and you'd love to relive. So yeah, what are your sporting events?
Right, so I picked two specific related to my club and one just kind of general. So I was quite a late bloomer in terms of getting into football. So my dad was never into football, and it's quite a traditional thing that football is passed from family.
Yeah.
So I got into football when I was probably about 11 years old, and one of my best friends at school was a Rangers fan, and I kind of just started getting into it through him, and then I started playing like kind of five-a-sides, that kind of thing. And it was kind of the year 2002. So for my first pick, I picked the World Cup 2002, because that was like my kind of introduction to international football, and I've just got a lot of nostalgia for, and that's something we talk about a lot on the podcast, is nostalgia for like the 2000s with the Brazil team with Ronaldinho, Rivaldo, Ronaldo, and you've got France with Zidane and Henri, and it's just a really kind of special time. I can always remember the specific football from that World Cup as well. And yeah, it's just probably like my kind of entrance point for being a football fan. And I'll always remember that tournament fondly. Also Euro 2004, which was the next one. So yeah, I picked just that tournament generally because it represented a time that, and I remember there was the England-Argentina game where Beckham scored the penalty. It's kind of redemption arc. We had a room at primary school. It was called the cloak room. I think it must be where we kept the jackets. So if it was raining, you would go in there. But I remember we watched like England-Argentina in there. I remember watching, you won't maybe remember it as fondly, but the Brazil-England game with David Seaman and things like that. Yeah, just if I think of football, I think of that Brazil strip. The yellow, the green lines, and Ronaldo's famous haircut, and all these kind of things.
Yeah, well, I think the World Cup is a great one to choose, and I don't know whether it's just me getting older, but I kind of agree with you. I think the up to about mid 2000, you know, sort of like 2006, that was when I think they stopped feeling truly great. Mm. I think for me, also, I mean, my family's Italian and we haven't had brilliant run in recent years. So, but I did say in Just Football, I remember World Cup 90 being the first time I realised football could devastate me when Italy lost to Argentina in the semi-final on penalties. And that was when football first made me feel sad. And I was thinking, you know, here we go. And then choose to be a Tottenham fan. And I've had years of it since. But I think World Cups just generally, even if like my wife's not a football fan, but when the World Cup's on, you know, because you're getting the whole fans, you know, the mixture of fans that they've featured on TV, there is something about a World Cup, but I just think it's lost something, I think, in recent years, whether it's, like I said, you know, the corporate side, or whether I'm just getting older.
I think having the World Cup in Qatar, I just don't think it had like the same atmosphere. Like, I've got also fond memories of like Brazil 2014 and South Africa 2010, because they were just really vibrant and bright, and they really captured like the culture of the country. I don't think Qatar had that same atmosphere, and I also don't think when they did the Euros and they did it in like loads of different cities, I just, to me, that's not what an international tournament is. An international tournament's in one country, you learn a bit about the culture, you've got the vuvuzelas and the different, the one the Brazilians had, the shaker things, can't remember what they were called. But yeah, I think doing that has taken a lot of it away, and I have lost a lot of my love for international football, if I'm completely honest. It's something we've talked about quite a lot on Seismic Soccer, is I used to be really into the Scottish national team, but I just can't hype myself up for it anymore. Even though we're qualifying for national tournaments and it should really be a time where you're celebrating it, I just can't fabricate enthusiasm for some reason.
I think it has changed, like the financial side and the commercial side, but you know, deep down there is still, the game is still there, but I think it just every now and then gets tainted, doesn't it?
So yeah, I picked just that World Cup in general. The other two were more kind of specific Rangers ones. The first one being the first league title I experienced. So Rangers won the treble in 2003. And we had some team at that point. We had Barry Ferguson, who was the captain. We had Ronald de Boer, the Dutch international, Arthur Newman. We had Arteta, was an up-and-coming midfielder for Rangers at that point. And this happened twice in the space of 2 years. The league title went down to the final day of the season, and it basically Rangers won on goal difference. So it was basically like a penalty shootout. Celtic won 4-0 at Kilmarnock. Rangers won 6-1 at home to Dunfermline. And I've actually got a video cassette of that whole game.
Right, okay.
It's like just the 90 minutes of that game.
Yeah, yeah.
Where Rangers won 6-1, and the atmosphere, I wasn't there, but the atmosphere looked incredible. So that was a really special one. The other one was just in general, the Europa League run to the final in 2022, where we knocked out Dortmund, Leipzig, and went within a whisker, or a Aaron Ramsey penalty of winning. Yeah. So the final's a good memory in a sense of I was together with friends. It was a really nice experience watching it with them. But it was more the euphoric nature of getting to the final and beating Leipzig and beating Dortmund that it just felt like we were unbeatable that season in the European arena.
Yeah, because you couldn't imagine at the start of the season that you get to the final, right?
It was incredible. It wasn't like in 2008, we kind of defended our way to the final. It was like backs to the wall, kind of Walter Smith football, but we actually played really good football, won 4-2 away at Dortmund, and were there on merit.
So when did Rangers get, you know, have to get demoted or start again? What year was that, you know?
2012.
Is it 2012?
So 10 years before.
Yeah, because I do remember sort of before that, you know, obviously Rangers and Celtic were, I mean, they're obviously massive teams now, but I remember massive in terms of the players they had as well then. So, you know, both teams were attracting some really good talent, and it was always great to keep an eye on that. But yeah, then obviously the financial or whatever issues happened, and that then totally changed the club again, didn't it?
Yeah, we spoke about that in our most recent Seismic Soccer, and I feel like we can still attract big names, but they tend to be kind of starting out or ending their career. Mm. So if you look at Aaron Ramsey, it didn't really work out in the end, but he was a huge name.
Yeah.
If you look at Jack Butland's a pretty big name by all accounts, in terms of the goalkeeper. But yeah, the days of signing like Dutch internationals at their peak are probably done.
I think the problem is the rest of the game has moved on massively in terms of finance. Like the Premier League is just incredibly wealthy, right? And look at the rest.
Depends who you've got. Like when we had like Steven Gerrard as manager, we got like Jermaine Defoe in, who despite being almost 40, he still scored like a really good amount of goals. Van Bronckhorst weirdly didn't sign any Dutch players when he was there, but you could imagine if he'd stayed longer, we could have maybe started to get in some of the, maybe not the top tier Dutch players, but maybe like the next tier down. But yeah, it has changed a lot. But I still think they can attract big names to the club, just how long they stays, or maybe more of a, like, the model's changed. Like, it's more like you develop them than sell them on in the future.
Okay, three solid picks there from the sporting world. So let's get on to now the things that are probably slightly outside your normal pod world anyway. So how about video games?
Right, so I'd like to start this one by saying I've never classed myself as like a gamer or been massively into games and that I'll spend like a whole weekend playing or that kind of thing. I've always been more into like specific games related to things I'm interested in, like films or shows, the kind of spin-off games.
Yeah.
So in terms of my honorable mentions, funny enough, because I've never been a massive James Bond fan, although I still enjoy seeing the films now and again, the GoldenEye game for the Nintendo 64.
Okay, classic, yeah.
I never owned a Nintendo 64, but one of my friends from school had it, and I just remember, do you remember going down like the vent and like,
yes.
There was like a bathroom?
Yeah.
And then you would always put all the mines on the door and use the watch to kind of block the door, and then you got the gold bazooka, or rocket launcher, or whatever it was. So I got a lot of fun memories of playing that game when I was younger. So I put that as an honourable mention. I've wrote a specific game down here, but I think just Pokemon in general is a really nostalgic thing for me. Okay. Both the Game Boy games, but also there was games like Pokemon Stadium where like they battled, or there was Pokemon Snap where you would go around taking pictures of the different ones. So I feel like Pokemon just captured like a generation of like my age group with the games. In terms of the games, so I said I'm more into games that are more specific things I'm into. So one I picked out was the Simpsons Hit and Run.
Classic, brilliant game.
Which was marketed as like GTA for kids, basically.
Yeah.
And I remember just loving that game when I was a kid. I've actually rebought it. I've got it now. But I remember I got to like the last level and my memory card just went on the blink and I lost all my data up to that point.
No.
So I feel like I've got unfinished business there. So I picked that one. Without honourable mention to Simpsons Road Rage. It was like the kind of taxi game.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed that one. In terms of Star Wars, I'm a massive Star Wars fan, as you're probably aware, but there's loads of ones I could have picked. I could have picked Phantom Menace, which was the first ever PS1 game I had, which has been re-released on the PlayStation Store. It was fun because you could just run about as like Qui-Gon Jinn on Tatooine and just murder people. And there'd be wee old ladies just screaming, "It's the murderer." So a lot of fun memories for that. The original Battlefront games as well. Me and Paul played them like religiously as children. But I actually picked out the Force Unleashed.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Because I remember it was just the first one that kind of just blew me away in terms of the gameplay, because you could just like lift up people and throw them about with the Force. You could pick up objects and throw them.
Yeah.
Like, obviously you can now, seeing like the Spider-Man games, you can pick up objects and throw them at people. Like, that was my first experience of that kind of gameplay. And it had a really good storyline as well. And in terms of my other love, so Harry Potter and Star Wars are like my two favorite franchises and can always have been. I picked Hogwarts Legacy because I've not had excitement about a game like that since I was like a child. Waiting for it to come out, the day it arrived, getting to Hogwarts for the first time on the game. And I just spent, it was actually the Easter holidays last year, I just spent hours just like amazed by the detail and the graphics. And so yeah, I went for like three of like my most favorite franchises and just games that I remember fondly or had that kind of special feeling with.
Hit and Run though, Simpsons Hit and Run, if they remade that now, they'd make a killing on it now. So yeah, that's such a fun game.
If there was a lot of games, I remember there was like Simpsons Wrestling as well.
Yeah, that wasn't as good.
Yeah, there's a lot of games. Virtual Springfield is a game I had for the PC. You just explore Springfield and you found keys to open different buildings and stuff.
There was
a lot of good games back then. So yeah, I'm not a massive gamer in like the traditional sense, but I still enjoy buying games for franchises that I like.
That's a good selection. Force Unleashed as well. That was a classic. But yeah, I'm just keeping an eye on the time and I've got a lot more to ask you. So if we move on to music, so are there, I kept this loose, are there artists or albums that you'd want to hear for the first time again?
So similar to like the video games, I wouldn't class myself as like a massive, like I don't listen to music as maybe much as I'd like to. I'm trying to change that because it has a big impact on mood and productivity if you're working as well. But there are like certain bands that I love and love going back to. But I do need to find some new ones as well. But in terms of what I picked out, do you know the song Iris?
Yes, yeah.
By the Goo Goo Dolls.
Yeah.
So I remember hearing this song back in like 2008. I think it was like 16, 17. And I loved it. And I've always kind of classed it as like my favorite song. And from there, I really got into the Goo Goo Dolls thereafter. And I've been to see them two or three times. They played in Glasgow a few times. So I'd maybe go back to that first time I listened to Iris and then listen to the kind of back catalogue as well.
I love how it just takes out one song. Mm-hmm. I love
just
that. Yeah.
Kind of captured a period in time.
Yeah.
I've also picked out, and this was the year I passed my driving test actually. And I actually saw them live that same year at Tea in the Park 2011 was the Foo Fighters Wasted Light album.
Oh, how cool. You've seen them as well. That's so cool.
Yeah. And I'd liked the Foo Fighters for quite a few years at that point, but I got really into them in that album. And there's a few songs on it that are kind of like ones me and my pal really love. And I just remember seeing them. They were the headliner on a Sunday night at Tea in the Park. And it was just a great, I seen them in Glasgow a few years later, but just it was my first festival and just seeing them live was incredible.
Were you ever, the cliched question, were you a Nirvana fan or?
No, that was a bit before.
Yeah.
Kind of before my time, I would say. But I've listened to a lot of kind of the older Foo Fighters stuff as well. And
yeah,
there was obviously the big loss of Taylor Hawkins, was it, last year as well. The last one I picked, because you'd mentioned the three, was, do you know Biffy Clyro, the Scottish band?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
There's an album called Only Revolutions, which came out in, I think, 2009. I saw them in concert in 2010, but I've also seen them another two or three times as well. But that was a particular album I really liked. Biffy Clyro, Foo Fighters, and Goo Goo Dolls.
Goo Goo's a solid collection there.
Just capture. Yeah. Like, I'm mostly into like rock, but also kind of like indie music and things like that as well.
So I did also kind of mention gigs or shows. So did you have that? Or because I know you've seen.
I've got that as well. I did put down Tea in the Park 2011, which was the Foo Fighters year. I actually went to Tea in the Park 4 years on the trot.
Did you? Yeah.
I'm definitely too old for that now, but I did go to it. Foo Fighters were this is how good this lineup was, by the way. And this, see, when you see the lineups for like Transmit in Glasgow, it just pales into insignificance now. So Foo Fighters were on a Sunday night. I saw the Arctic Monkeys on the Friday night, which I quite liked. I never liked them as much as like the Foo Fighters, for example, but the Saturday night, and again, I think I'm right into things that are like Marmite. I'm a massive Coldplay fan, which is either a hit or a miss, depending on who you're talking to. But they were the Saturday night headliners at Tea in the Park. So just that specific Tea in the Park. The other ones I enjoyed aspects of, but that was the one I really enjoyed. Some great experiences there.
So you're picking Tea in the Park 2011, 2012, 2013?
No, it's more just 2011. That was my favourite one.
Yeah, yeah.
I also picked out going to see Coldplay specifically in 2022 at Hampden. And there's a particular reason for it. One of my best friends, who I used to work with actually, we both love Coldplay, and we used to have, when we worked in a shop together, it was called Coldplay Hour, where we would just play Coldplay on rotation.
Yeah.
When we were working, and I'd seen Coldplay maybe three times, and he'd never seen them, and he was probably a bigger fan than I was. Like, he knew a lot more of the kind of oldest stuff. But I remember it was the year we turned 30, and I had the opportunity to get tickets, and I just remember revealing to him that I got the tickets. He was finally going to get to see them for the first time, going to see the concert with him, and just that kind of emotion of the atmosphere of being at a gig, but also just knowing that your friend was experiencing this for the first time.
Yeah.
And all the kind of shared memories and moments with the songs over the years. It was a really kind of special moment.
Music massively taps into the soul, doesn't it? So, yeah.
And the last one, my friends and I, more because we're living in the kind of west of Scotland, are really into your kind of traditional Scottish music. I don't know if you know or heard of like Skerryvore, bands like that. I don't know if that's you came across. But there was they do quite a lot of kind of music festivals on our doorstep, basically. They have some where we live, but they also have them kind of like half an hour from where we live, an hour from where we live. And there was a festival we went to in 2018, like an hour from where we live. And it was just a great weekend. Like we stayed in a chalet with like a hot tub, and there was like 20 of us, and it was just such a great, it wasn't like a gig in the sense of a specific big band, it was just live music across a weekend, and just a great experience of being away with friends.
That's really cool. And like I said, that's what it's all about, isn't it? It's just about that moment in time. So
like it's the times you look back on now and you're like, that was, those were the good old days, you didn't know at the time.
Yeah, there's that saying, isn't it? They say it in the office, don't they? I wish somebody would tell you, or I wish there was a way of knowing you were in the good old days before you left them.
It's heartbreaking, isn't it? I remember I read one, it was like, one time you went out to play with your friends for the last time and none of you knew it.
Yeah. Oh, no, let's move on. Right. I've got a couple of new ones. Well, I say new ones, this is only episode two, but a couple of new ones that I thought of that I'll throw at you. So I just wonder if you had anything of these. Now, I love food. Well, and if you see the Podpack Collective chat, you know, it's a lot of food chat goes on in there. But yeah, are there three food items you would love to forget tonight and wake up tomorrow and have them again?
I had to think a bit deeper for this one because I do like trying new things. Not if you ask my wife, she would say I'm the picky one. But yeah. I went to a restaurant in Glasgow a few years back now. It's called the Hanoi Bike Shop, and it was a Vietnamese restaurant. And I can't remember specifically what the food was, but I just remember it tasted amazing, and I'd really love to go back there again. So I would highly recommend Vietnamese food. So I'd like to go back there. Another good experience I have, and I don't know if they exist out with Glasgow, there's a Spanish tapas restaurant called Cafe Andaluz.
Okay.
So if you're ever in Glasgow, I'd recommend it. So it just does like, it's just like tapas. So it's lots of like wee small, maybe chicken, maybe beef, etc. But they were just amazing. I've been a few times, but anytime I'm in Glasgow, I always just want to go back there and, as you say, experience it again. And I went to Amsterdam for my pal Stag, the same guy who gave me the coin on my wedding day when he was getting married. And he took me to a place called Lombardo's in Amsterdam, where it apparently did like the world's best, or what he said was the world's best ever burger. And he wasn't lying, like it was incredibly good. So I had to actually ask him to remind me what the place was called. But if you're ever in Amsterdam, you should go to Lombardo's for a burger.
Well, I've got a reason to go now.
So yeah, they were just when I was thinking about it, they were like, I'm not the most adventurous eater in the world, but I still do enjoy trying new things. And they were just things when I was thinking, as it, things I'd want to eat again, you know?
I was going to say, I mean, you say that, but you've got Vietnamese, you've got, the Cafe Andaluz, you've got a burger place in Amsterdam. Not that there's anything wrong. It's not like you said a Greg sausage roll or anything like that.
I tried to think of examples that were a wee bit more varied, yeah.
Okay. And final subject, I said life events. Now, I said, you know, I'm not asking you to get personal, but you can do, but I'm thinking like passing your driving test or anything. But are there some life events that you look back on and think, yeah, that was a great moment in time?
Passing my driving test.
Is that number one?
No, it isn't actually, but it's funny because it links into one of the other categories. I had the Wasted Light album by Foo Fighters. So I sat my test in my parents' car.
Okay. Yeah.
And I had the Wasted Light CD in the car. So as I passed my test and drove up to my parents' house at the time, I was blaring like
Rope
and bridge burning, like these songs from the Foo Fighters album.
Yeah.
So that was actually quite a nice memory. But I have picked three or four. So, and I'm not just saying this because you have to pick it, but I did pick my wedding from last summer.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair.
Which is, wedding's a day where you imagine what it'd be like and you kind of picture it. But when it actually happens, and I'm really glad we've got an amazing wedding video as well that we can kind of watch the highlight reel.
Mm.
So I picked that. One of my ones you said could get personal. My wife and I are expecting a baby in June.
Oh, really? Oh, so, congratulations.
Hopefully then one of them is to come. So if we do a second parter to this, we can...
We'll do an addendum. We'll do an addendum part two. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So there's that. I picked... This isn't just me showing off at this part, but I proposed to my now wife in Paris.
Nice.
But not in the cheesy way. Sorry to anyone listening of up the Eiffel Tower, but it was actually... We went on a cruise of the river, and it was like a free course meal, and then at the end of the meal I proposed on the boat. So just to actually be able to look at you
yeah.
to actually be able to pull that off, and like obviously I was nervous and yeah. I had so many, like I took the ring with me to the Eiffel Tower, forgot that there was security at the Eiffel Tower.
Oh,
I had to
no.
like scramble it through security because I didn't want to leave it in the hotel in case it got lost. All these kind of things, but anyway it worked out. And it was a really special experience there. I also put down, because there were rescue cats, adopting my two cats. Because at the time, I lived alone. So they were the kind of first company I had. And during lockdown, they were the only company I had. So
right, yeah,
that was quite nice. And to keep it on trend, starting the podcast, I would say it was quite a big moment. Because it was something I'd always... wanted to do or thought I should do, but then to actually do it and to keep it going for over 2 years and meet people like yourselves, and we've met loads of friends online and different things. I think doing the podcast is definitely, although like we have maybe haven't grown the way we would have wanted to, and the numbers are still just kind of okay, but we're not doing it to pay the bills, we're just doing it to for kind of enjoyment, you know.
Yeah, I'm like exactly the same. Sometimes you look at numbers, and my wife keeps saying, remember what you're doing this for? And absolutely, I think if I hadn't done the podcast 1 to 2 times a week, what would I be doing for the last 2 years? Yeah, you know, and meeting people like yourself, like I said, and the amount of people I've met, it's just been brilliant.
Well, I always find some days, you'll know this yourself, you'll be about to do a podcast and you're tired, you've been at work.
Yeah,
and you can't see yourself doing it. But I find once you sit down, you start talking to people, and then by the end of it, I have like a real buzz and a real energy about myself, which I didn't have at the start. So I think there's just a nice. It's a hard feeling to describe unless you actually do it. But
you do
get a good buzz from it.
No, well, look, well, again, congratulations on the news. Now, this goes out at the end of April, towards the end of April, but yeah, we'll get you back in July, tiredness permitting.
I know, I might need to take a sabbatical for a few weeks.
Yeah. But no, but thank you for that. Look, that's been fascinating. I think we've definitely got to know you a bit more. I was going to go through everything, but there's just so much to repeat. But yeah, you've definitely got a real mix of answers in there, which I think are fantastic. So, no, I hope you've enjoyed that. I'm really glad. You know what I was thinking before I started, or before I pressed record tonight, was I'm so glad I'm this side of the microphone, as it were, in terms of that, because I'd hate these questions coming towards me. So no,
I think the fact, it wasn't like I was on the spot. I'd actually put ideas down. If I'd been on the spot, it'd have been different. But no, it gets you thinking about the things that you enjoy and the things that can inspire you in different things. So
again, thank you for coming on. Thank you for being part of that. Before you go, do you want to just shout out your pods again and where people can find you?
Yeah, so we're basically one podcast, but kind of two. So Seismic Cinema, myself, Paul and James, we pick a movie each month, and we review them, and we also do a football episode at the end of the month where we talk about different news stories and do wee challenges. We used to do loads of rankings and stuff back in the day, but we kind of overdid them a wee bit. In terms of what we've done recently, we did the Simpsons movie, which was a lot of fun. We're just about to do Good Will Hunting. And we're also this month recording Back to the Future, which will be a lot of fun.
Oh, classic.
And you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, or X, Instagram, and likes of Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube. So if any of that sounds good, then give us a like and subscribe and help James buy a microphone by buying us a coffee.
If I'm right as well, on YouTube, you've got the video, haven't you? You do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't start out, we started out using what is now Spotify for podcasters, Anchor. Mm. Mm. And we just did audio, but then we thought we would just go for it and give it a go. But I do like doing the video because I think it helps you get to know your guests, because obviously this is audio only, but I can see you right now. Yeah. I think it's a good way of getting to know people, and you can have fun with animations on your screen and wee messages and different things like that as well.
Do you know, I'd love to. I don't even want to contemplate video editing or the video side of things yet. Paul, so somebody will do that for me.
Paul does that for us, and I do the kind of uploading of the episodes. So, and James does the promos now. So we've got a good wee system where we've got different responsibilities without one person doing everything, you know.
And for me, as we're collaborating, I'll shout out my other pod, Just Football. Go check that out. As Colin said, we're hoping to do a collab between us and yourself soon. And I'm not going to list them all, but the Podpack Collective, great group of podcasts. Go check them out. For me, you're listening to me, so you know where to find me on your pod players. But yeah, just search for Casting Views across all the socials if you want to get in touch, or even more importantly, if you want to be part of this, if you want to be grilled about your favourite things again, drop me a line. Is there anything else you want to say before we go, Colin?
I just want to thank you for having me on. As soon as I saw it on X, I was like, that sounds like something I want to get involved with. So yeah, I appreciate you having me on and going easy on me as well.
No, I appreciate it. It's like I said, it's great fun for me. But yeah, I'm just so glad I'm not answering the questions. So if you fancy being on the other end, let me know, and I will see you next week for another episode of Casting Views.
One, two, three, four.
If I want your opinion, I will give it to you. Come on, check what we've got, 'cause you need it. Don't make us get a spork and horse feed.